A young man sitting at home all alone is visited by an odd stranger. But when things go too far, we have to ask the question. Has this young man lost his mind, or have the synthoids finally started their invasion? And then we take a look at the story of a young girl who just wants a normal life. The only problem with that is that her family practices the dark arts. Does this young girl even have the slightest chance of living a normal existence? Or will she be just another casualty between dueling witches? Today on Dead Rabbit Radio. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Dead Rabbit Radio. I'm your host, Jason Carpenter. I'm having a great day. I hope you guys are having a great day too. I hope you guys are having tons of fun doing whatever you're doing. We got a lot of stuff to cover today. So first off, running into Dead Rabbit Radio Command. Everyone get on your feet and give it up for Heart of the Tribe 3277. Woohoo! Yeah! Wee! Yeah! Woohoo! Walking on in. Part of the Tribe walking on into Dead Rabbit Radio Command. Part of the Tribe, you're going to be our captain, our pilot this episode. The reason why is because he's doing what I love you guys to do. If you can't support the show financially, tell your friends, tell your family, tell everyone you know. Dead Rabbit Radio is your favorite paranormal show, and that is what he's doing. And he's getting the word out about the show, and that's why I'm tossing him the keys to the Jason Jalopy. Let's get this party started. Part of the Tribe, fire this bad boy up. We're leaving behind Dead Rabbit Radio Command. Drive us all the way out to a young man's house. Nice leisurely drive all the way out there. I don't know exactly where this story took place. Somewhere in America. We know that for sure. Because he references it as one of the reasons why all of this is so odd. Truly a bizarre story. So somewhere in America, maybe a house next to yours. If you heard any screaming and you didn't know what it was, well, maybe it was this story. It's January 3rd, 2023. We're about to meet this young man. He didn't give his real name. We'll call him Ben. Ben is just hanging out at his house. Just kind of sitting there in his bedroom, listening to some music, maybe watching television, maybe reading a book. He didn't say, but he does tell us, we don't know exactly what he's doing in this moment, but he does tell us that he hasn't had sex in 6 months. So maybe he's not doing any of those things, maybe he's doing something else, but he hasn't had sex in 6 months. He's sitting there in his bedroom, and then all of a sudden, he sees in his room a small Chinese woman. There's a lot of things that will alarm you. A lot of things that will make you turn off the music, shut off the TV, or put the book down. One of them is that. Not specifically. You're like, oh, no, that woman's Korean. I'm going to go back to reading the book. Not just the fact that she's Chinese, but there's just someone in your house that isn't supposed to be there. He, though, I will say this, Ben is really held up on the fact that she's Chinese. He keeps going, I don't know any Chinese people. There's no Chinese people in my house. I live in America. There's a lot of places you can live in if they don't belong in your house, regardless of ethnicity. If you were in your house and then, like, some dude from Sweden walked in, I don't think he'd be like, oh, that's cool. I don't know who this guy is, what he's doing, or where he's going. But I'm fine with that. This small Chinese woman appears in his house. The Chinese woman goes, would you like me to perform some oral sex on you? And Ben's like, well, you know what? I haven't had sex in 6 months, so sure. Let's do this. So the Chinese woman begins to give him a blowjob. And he's watching, obviously. He's not just like closing his eyes. He's like, la, 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 plugging his ears. He's watching television. He's like, oh, I can't miss this part. This is my favorite show. This is Wipeout. I want to see this guy wipe out and fall in the mud. He's watching this. He's watching this Chinese woman give him a blowjob. And then all of a sudden, he starts to see blood come out of her mouth. I just need to get through the story. But there's just, at no point would I be game for any of this. Someone magically appears in my house, get out. Small Chinese woman, I was like, oh, too bad you're not Korean, get out. I wouldn't be involved in any of this stuff, right? But when blood starts pouring out of her mouth, that's definitely the end. I don't care how long it's been since you've had sex. You're like, nope, I'm done. Blood starts pouring out of her mouth, and he pulls out of her mouth and realizes the blood is coming from him. He's bleeding. Part of the tribe was like, thanks, Jason. I told all my friends to listen to the show. Hey, everybody, you got to check out this podcast. Ben pulls himself out. He's bleeding from his dick. It's that point where he cocks back. Literally in this case. But also, he pulls his arm back and punches the Chinese woman as hard as he can in the head. She then falls backwards. Hits her head on the ground. And that is when he watched all of this woman's clothes and skin evaporate. And all that was left was her skull. And he has photos of this thing. It's a large lump of either rubber or plastic. I couldn't really tell. Has the number 88 embossed on the back of it. It's the head of this synthetic humanoid. She wasn't young, Chinese, or a woman. She was a robot, a replicant, a synthoid. Well, he goes and takes a shower, right? He's like, well, I just discovered humanity is being invaded by shape-shifting automatons, but I do need to take a shower. He's all do-do-do-do whistling, walking down the hallway. This head's all does not compute. It's all rolling around in his bedroom. He goes to the bathroom. He takes a shower, and the whole time his penis is burning. I mean, I will say that tends to happen when you have sex with a robot. He's all, his penis is burning. It's still bleeding, but the bleeding is slowing down. He also said that the way that it looked, the tip was still erect, but the rest of it was not. He also said that the tip of his penis was orange as well. You're eating a big old orange as you have a blade of portobello mushrooms. Oh, I guess I'm not eating today. Once again, I don't know why I thought eating an orange and portobello mushrooms at the same time. No way Jason can make these disgusting. He starts posting pictures of the head. You're like, what? Oh my God, is this guy posting pictures of his junk? People were asking for that. People were like, dude, post pictures of your junk. Because we want to see your weird penis that's all inflamed, but then like soggy at the same time. I imagine it's like if you left a hot dog in a sauna overnight. Probably what it looked like. I don't need a picture. It's okay, man. But he did post pictures of the skull. It was about the size of his hand. And it vaguely looks like a skull. Just kind of like the shape. It doesn't have the eye sockets or the teeth or anything like that. But he goes, ladies and gentlemen, that's it. I killed a synthetic humanoid. Hit it with one punch and it died. All of its skin and clothing evaporated and... There we go. How do you like that story? Cut. The first blow is struck against these synthoid invaders. You know, it's an interesting story. It's one of those things. I remember a long time ago we did a story about a guy named Kevin Whiskey. And he told a story about... I'm just going off memory. It's been years since I've listened to this episode. But Kevin Whiskey is like the world's strongest conspiracy theorist or something like that. He like uses kettlebells and swords. He's such an interesting character. We did a couple episodes on him, but one of the episodes, I believe it was Kevin Whiskey, who said that he was traveling through Nevada and he got pulled over by a highway state trooper who Kevin quickly realized was actually a reptilian in disguise. And Kevin goes, oh my god, like, this reptilian, he works for the Illuminati overlords. He's going to either kill me out here or take me back to their lair and lay eggs in my stomach or whatever. So he grabbed a screwdriver and began stabbing the reptilian slash Nevada State Highway Patrolman multiple times and took off and left the officer on the ground bleeding as he drove home. And I go, you know, there's a couple different ways to look at the story. One is we just read the story about a man who murdered a cop and got away with it. Just took off. I go, he could have made it up. He could have been a hallucination. The whole thing could have been a hallucination. He could have made it up. I go, you know, in the world of conspiracy theory, there's a chance that there was a reptilian disguised as a police officer. I mean, unlikely, I would say. But, you know, in the world of the weird, I'm not going to say it's impossible. But it is possible. It's more likely that he murdered a cop or stabbed a cop multiple times and left him for dead. And this kind of reminds me of that story where you have this guy. He's like, dude, this Chinese woman showed up and we started messing around and then I hit her head. And she turned to dust. All that was left was this skull. First off, he could have totally made it up because he thought it was funny to put online. But you wonder, like, how much of that is true? Again, it's not impossible that there are synthoids disguising themselves. It's not likely. It's more likely that a girl came over to his house and he killed her. And that's how his brain processed it. He goes, well, I didn't kill a person. I killed a robot. And all that's left is this piece of rubber. But while he was taking photos of him holding that skull, there could have been a dead woman just out of frame. Like, that's what's crazy about all of this stuff. So much of this stuff can go either way. And 99% of the time, it's harmless. People say, I live in a haunted house. I think there's this ghost messing with me and my band. Really, really creepy. We blocked off the basement door. We've had no trouble since. And you can go, well, it could have been a bunch of other things going on. You could rationalize all of it. But it's not that she might have murdered everyone in her band. She's like, well, the only way to be famous was to sacrifice my bandmates to the ghost, so I let them down into the basement. I never saw them again. I never saw their bodies or anything like that. You'd be like, that's probably something darker going on there. That might be the case with this. He could have fought a real synthoid. He could have murdered somebody. And that's the way his brain is processing all of this. It's weird. It's one of those stories that we come across because we discuss these topics because we like these topics. Here's one I would rather it have been a synthoid. I would rather believe we live in a world where there are robot replicants of humans walking into houses and he discovered that plot than he murdered someone and this is the way his brain was processing all of it. But it's either or actually I shouldn't say that. There could be 100 other different explanations, but it's a crazy story. If one way or the other, hallucination 100% in his head, none of it happened. He fought a synthoid and won, or he killed a woman and he can't put the pieces together in his head about what actually happened. We'll never know the truth. This one was posted anonymously on the X board, so we'll never know. I guess you could start looking up missing Chinese women somewhere in America. I mean, that might be your summer project. Crazy stuff, though. But I'll put that in the show notes if you want to see a big hunk of rubber. And he ended up not posting pictures of his own junk. So I guess we can be happy for that. Part of the tribe. Let's go ahead and toss you the keys to the world. Famous carpenter copter. We are leaving behind this young man's house. Fly us all the way out to a little girl's apartment. Part of the tribe, as you're flying us out to this next story, I actually have a hypothetical question for you guys. Hypothetical conspiracy theory question. So it is on point with the show. I'm just going to ask, what should I wear to work tomorrow? Here's my question to you. So I actually took a break. You guys can probably tell the audio quality's changed in between then and now. It's a couple hours later. And I'm recording this episode on Sunday the 14th. So if you're an American, you can probably figure out what I was doing during that break. I said, you know what? It's time for me to do my taxes. I always owe money on my taxes. It has been a long time since I've gotten any money back. I always owe money. It's not because I make a lot of money. It's because I make a reasonable amount of money that doesn't get taxed. Through the Patreon, through YouTube, through advertising revenue for the show, none of that gets taxed. So it's basically IRS comes knocking at my door, which they've done in real life. I've had the IRS come out, knock on my door. Luckily, I wasn't there. Right? Luckily, I wasn't there. I came home and found a business card stuffed into the door. I was like, oh, good thing I was late coming home that day. Here's my question, though. You know, I know a lot of people, I read the forums. I read what people say about other podcasters, other content creators in this field. A lot of people say this person is compromised. This person is a FBI asset. Or the reason why this channel blew up so quickly is because they're controlled opposition. Basically, pretty much anyone who has any amount of following gets this charge laid against them. The only reason they're popular is because they're working with the feds. Which, I mean, it would make sense. It would make sense at a certain point. But I wonder, I go, basically what I'm saying is, I think if I ever end up working for the feds, it's going to be the IRS. They're the ones who have stuff told over me. They're like, Jason, you owe us money. You have to start putting out IRS-themed propaganda on your show. You have to start talking about how great we are, the Internal Revenue Service. We got to start to do a whole week on IRS-themed cryptids. Cryptids that hunt you down. It's basically a financial boogeyman. But yeah, I was thinking about that. I was like, that would be who would have something to hold over me. Would be the IRS. The FBI and the CIA, NSA, Homeland Security. Whatever, you know what I mean? I think you plant some evidence, right? I come home, there's a huge bomb-making facility in my place. I was like, I'm pretty sure, here they come. Here come the feds. They walk in. They're like, hey, we need to talk. You need to start making FBI propaganda. You got to start letting us see your episodes before they're out. And then we'll give it the yay or the nay. Otherwise, you'll be arrested for bomb manufacturing. You got it? You got it, punk? And then they leave. But they also left all their bomb-making material here. I was like, well, you know, in for a penny, in for a pound, I start mass-producing pipe bombs. I'm like, I can sell these on Alibaba. I've thought about that, right? not the bomb-making part, but I've thought about that. What would happen if the feds, if the FBI came to me and said, not that they have anything to hold over me, because, see, honestly, these the conspiracy theory is normally this. The federal government or a branch of it, NSA, FBI, whatever, comes to a content creator and says, hey, we really like your content, but if you work for us, we'll help blow it up. We have all of the algorithm controls. We have these bot farms. We can make you become the biggest conspiracy theory paranormal YouTuber out there. All you got to do is every so often say something we're telling you to talk about. Maybe they do review the work before you put it out. But usually it's just like it's not a daily FBI podcast. It's just every so often they'll give you info and then you'll report on it, or they'll have you particularly cover and dismiss one conspiracy theory or another because they're trying to quash it. That's kind of how it goes. It's not like the FBI has anything over. Even Alex Jones gets allegations of being controlled opposition, that the government controls him. He's not as free as we would hope people are. Now, you may not be a fan of Alex Jones, or maybe you are, but you should have the right. He did get get sued for saying all that stuff about Sandy Hook, but that wasn't the government. Whether you like Alex Jones or not, I think that we all would like to think that everyone has the ability to say what they want, right or wrong. Here's my question. What happens if the feds come to me, not the IRS, not because I actually owe them money? No. What happens if the FBI comes to me and they go, hey, Jason, we really like your podcast. I just imagine them coming in and being like, you know what? Your podcast is kind of irritating. You sound like Kermit the Frog. You interrupt your own stories constantly. And the way you laugh at your own jokes is pretty annoying. But the FBI needs your help. We need your help. Would you like to work for us? If you do, we'll make you very popular. Like, we'll get the algorithm going. We'll make sure that our media-controlled publications, which is all of them are infiltrated. That's true. Whether or not some YouTuber is working for the feds, I don't know. But the New York Times definitely is. LA Times, New York Post, CNN, all of them. Fox. So, feds come in and they go, they go, that's the stuff you can't talk about, bro. You just can't casually mention we control the media. You can't do that. Even though it's true, this is the type of stuff we're trying to avoid. We'll come in and they'll say, hey, man, we will make you famous. We'll make you the biggest paranormal podcaster out there. But you got to work for us. What would you do? It's kind of different questions. One is, what would I do? Two is, what would you want me to do? And then three is, what would you do if you were a podcaster or whatever occupation you have? Maybe you're an auto mechanic and the feds are like, hey, we need your help. We need you to help fix all of our FBI cars. You're like, what? I thought those are just normal cars. They're like, nope, they're secret. Secret cars with secret compartments. Hey, will you come work for us? And it's funny because I've thought about this because it's such a kind of a given in the conspiracy theory world that once you reach a certain point, you become compromised. I've thought about that. Like, what would I do? And I don't actually, I mean, this hasn't happened, just so we're clear. I'm not currently giving this part of the podcast as there's three agents sitting in my house right now and they're recording it and they're like, speed it up, speed it up. You still got to get to the next story. I wonder, I'll say what I've envisioned. For this. I know people are going to be like, what? Let me explain. If the feds came to me and said, do you want to work for us? There's an interesting thing because one, I do believe there's a civic duty to help out your government. But I don't like anything open-ended either. So if the feds came to me and said, we will make you super famous, we'll make you the number one paranormal podcaster, but over the next couple of years, we're going to be giving you stories, we're going to say you can cover this, you can't cover that. I think my first question would be, what happens if I say no? Obviously, if I see them getting the rag with the chloroform out, I'm like, oh, okay, I see where you're going with that. Stage suicide, a classic for the FBI. If they said, you say no, we're going to murder you, then I'm kind of stuck. Guys, I hope you guys realize that I don't have many outs in that place, but I don't think they would do that. If they go, well, if you say no, then let's assume that the FBI is a legal, you know, law enforcement agency, that they're actually not going to fake my death or do anything horrible. Let's assume they're not going to do that. They go, well, if you say no, then we'll just walk out of here and you'll be allowed to continue to do your podcast. And we're not going to take any action against it per se, but you'll never reach the audiences you could if you worked with us. In that case, I checked their pockets, no chloroform rags. I'm like, okay, good. In that case, because I don't like open-ended stuff, I would probably say, well, you know, thank you, but no thank you. Because I think I'd be giving up too much for what? Right? Fame and fortune. But it wouldn't be... Here's the thing. I'll tell you, if I did agree to that, I probably would stop doing the podcast in a year anyways. Because there would be a lot of stuff I'd want to cover. I'm sure the FBI has a rule against... They're like, Jason, we need to talk. No more poop. No more poop stories. No more cannibalism stories. Nothing like that. It's grossing us out. The agents that are spying on you are getting, they're suffering mental illnesses. They listen to 3 episodes and 1 cursed one. The guy's flying around the office now, flame shooting out of his eyes. Yeah, I wouldn't want that type of oversight. That's the one thing I like about doing this show, is that it's just me. And really, the oversight is you, right? The listener. If I start putting out enough episodes, people are like, oh, this show stinks. This show sucks. Plus, we keep getting cursed. As you're devouring the souls of your neighbors. And then people stop listening to it. I go, oh, okay, so the show sucks. Like, I'm definitely seeing a huge fall off in listeners. You guys are kind of the, at the end of the day, the polling group or the audience. If I don't like the episodes, then I'll stop too. I've erased whole episodes before and started over and all that stuff. But however, I will say this. This is what I was thinking about. And this is where I think people might go, what? He's a shill. I go, let's say that the federal government came to me, the FBI came to me and said, hey, listen, we need your help with something. We need your help with something. There is a terrorist who we believe is about to blow up Los Angeles. All of it. He's a very, very advanced terrorist. He's quite good at his job. He has a suitcase nuke. He's going to take it to Los Angeles and he's going to detonate it. We also know that this terrorist loves paranormal podcasts. We're not entirely for sure which ones he listens to. We haven't been able to figure that out. What we want to do is we want to talk to all these paranormal podcasters. We're going to have coded messages put into their podcast that seem like they will be coming from his terrorist leader. You're like, what, Jason? This is so ridiculous. You're like, I'll work up for the FBI, only one circumstance, and one only. And then you tell a sci-fi story. You're like, if aliens come down and begin to eat dogs, not cats, but dogs, I will help humans. No. You know what I'm saying? Like, it would have to be so short-term. It would have to be something that I definitely could help. Like, it's obviously I'm not going to be like, beat it, fat. Then all of a sudden LA is nuked. And I'm like, well, I could have stopped that, but whatever. I don't work for the US government. You know what I mean? Like, I think you do have to. I mean, it's super easy to set up a hypothetical that'll never happen. I'll work for the FBI under this condition. If I don't, LA will be nuked. It is funny, though, because I have thought about it. Like, what would it take? And here would be my catch. Here would be my thing. If they came to me and they said, come, you help us with this particular mission. That's all that we need. And we will get your podcast out there. You'll be like the biggest podcast in the world. We'll make you successful if you help us stop this terrorist. Plus, a bunch of people in LA are going to be really happy. And I hear they make movies down there. This is what I think I would do in that super, super specific situation. I would say, yeah, I'll help you out, but I don't want anything in return. Nothing. I think that's where you get tripped up. I think it's okay to help out the government, help out local law enforcement, or just help out anybody, right? You see an old lady walking down the street, you walk over to help her, you're not expecting she's going to give you $10 when you get to the other side of the street. You do it because you should. That's how I would see it. I've obviously thought about this a lot over the past 6 years. I've thought, yeah, I wouldn't ask for anything. I wouldn't want anything because now there's leverage, right? If they say, hey, we're going to boost your algorithm, make you super popular, I'd be like, I don't want to do that. Listen, if I can help save 10 million lives, I'll do that because that's the right thing to do. But I don't want you guys messing with the algorithm. And the reason why is because the second you say that is now they do have leverage over you. They go, we'll give you $10,000 or whatever. I don't know how the FBI works. They're like, people are like, I don't know. I could disarm this bomb, but my palm's feeling a little empty. The FBI's just throwing hundreds into the bomb diffuser's hand. You know what I mean? The second you give them anything, they have leverage over you. Now, I save LA. They make my podcast super popular. And then 6 months later, they come back to me and they're like, listen, thanks for saving LA. Now, we're wondering, there's another terrorist who really loves paranormal podcast. You're like, this is weird. How many terrorists love ghost stories? I guess it kind of makes sense because they make a lot of ghosts. They go, we believe this terrorist really loves ghost stories. Apparently, he's a huge fan of Dead Rabbit Radio. We want to attach a code onto your website so we can see everyone who's downloaded episodes in the past 90 days. You'd be like, no, I don't want to do that. That's insane. That's like, first off, they can do that anyways. But in this hypothetical situation, I was like, what are you talking? No, I don't want to do that. And now they can say, listen, you're the number one paranormal podcast. We made that. We can take it away. So what do you want to do? You want to give us access to this information. If they didn't give you anything, they come to you and you're like, nah, I'm good. And they're like, oh, well, I guess we don't have anything to hold over them. Also, he did save L.A. single-handedly. It's kind of an interesting meta to this all. I don't know if we're going to get. What story was I supposed to? Oh yeah, that one's a really good one. Sorry, we're going to have to save it for tomorrow. Part of the tribe. Let's go ahead and keep you flying that carpenter copter. We're not going to have time to do the totally awesome story about the house. What we are going to do instead is. What was the first story? What did we talk about? Oh, that guy punched the Chinese lady. What one? What should we do now? Part of the tribe, keep flying past FBI headquarters. What is that? Langley? That's CIA, I think. Quantico. Keep flying past Quantico. They haven't called upon me yet to save the city of Los Angeles. We're actually headed out to Grandma's house. Not another story about a grandma dying, Jason. I can't take it much more. We're flying out to Grandma's house. We don't have her an exact name. Let's call her June. She's talking to her daughter. We'll call her Mary. And Grandma June's actually in really good health. Everything seems to be going good in the family. And Mary was hanging out with Grandma one day, and Grandma says, hey, you know, this might sound weird, but, I want you to come by and visit me 8 days. I want you to come by and visit me 8 days before I die. Mary's like, what? That is weird, Grandma June. Because she wasn't even sick. I mean, she is a grandma. TikTok. But she wasn't sick. She didn't think that grandma was going to die anytime soon. Also, that's weirdly specific. Come and visit me 8 days before I die. Well, fast forward a year. Grandma June has a case of OPS. Old people syndrome. She's dying. The doctor's like, well, family, I hate to break it to you, but you can obviously hear what she sounds like. This is not a healthy woman. Doctor goes, she doesn't have much longer to live. So, yeah. Maybe we just want to take her home. It's kind of depressing. Kind of bringing the hospital staff down, guys. This old lady's dying, you know. We run a classy joint in here. Why don't you take her home? She can do that whole dying at home thing. Well, they do. Mary comes out to visit her. And, you know, just from the way things work out, she tries to get out there as soon as she can. And she does get out there. And 8 days from the moment Mary comes by and visits her, 8 days later, Grandma dies. Now, that's not the creepy part. It's weird, right? But it's not the creepy part. What happened is that Mary came and she was there to help take care of Grandma. And Mary would be sitting there with Grandma June, and Grandma June would start saying, help! Help me! Oh no! Hold on to me! Hold on to me, June! Hold on to me! He's flying! He's flying and he's trying to take me away! No! Get away! Baby girl, Mary, hold me down. And it's terrifying, right? I mean, it's sad enough to watch a loved one die before your eyes. Mary looks at her watch, she's like, oh no, 8 days of this, oh no. I probably should have waited a little bit longer. she's dying and she's losing her mind. And Mary goes, you could look at Grandma June and the expression on her face, she was just terrified. No, he's picking me up. He's touching me and he's yanking me. I don't want to fly away. He wants to take me away, Mary. He wants to take me away. She looked terrified. Obviously, I guess it goes without saying there was no one flying around either. You'd just be sitting in a room with somebody and they start screaming about being attacked by a flying man. It'd actually be kind of funny now that I think about it. That might be why I'm laughing so hard. I mean, I wouldn't like it to happen to somebody that I knew. But if I was just happening to be walking down the hallway of an old folks home one day and I heard someone going, help me, help me. He's trying to take me into the sky. I'd poke my head in that door, right? I'd be a little curious and be like, Maybe I'll see one of two things. Maybe I'll see a room with an elderly person losing their mind, or maybe I'll see a man with wings attacking a old person. I mean, both pretty interesting. You're not going to see it every day unless you work at an old folks home. So, you know, what would you do, right? Your loved one's dying and she's losing her mind and she looked terrified. It'd be one thing if you're like, oh, look at the Care Bears are coming, Mary. My favorite Care Bear of all, King Hugs-a-Lot. Look at him. Look at him go. He's dancing. He's dancing right on your forehead. He's dancing on your head, Mary. He's messing up your hair. Like, that'd be kind of amusing. Kind of adorable. Hallucinating good things. Oh, I see him right now. There's Rainbow Bright, Mary. He used to have Rainbow Bright. Oh, and Teddy Ruxkin. He's bringing in my pills for this morning. I would hang out at the place. I'd be like, oh, Grandma, this is better. This is better than watching television. I wonder what she's going to hallucinate today. Because here's the thing. If it was fun hallucinations like that, that's adorable. That's an adorable case of psychosis. But she's not. The look on her face is terrified. She's so afraid she's going to get whisked away by this winged man. But to make it even worse, Mary said that later on, like, she didn't notice this at first, but Grandma June kept complaining about someone flying down and picking her up, trying to carry her away. She goes, later on, she ended up seeing Grandma June having red marks on her arms and her legs. And she said they looked like a mark someone would leave if they were grabbing onto somebody really, really tightly and not letting go. Bruises, basically. Red marks and bruises where it looked like someone was trying to fly away with Grandma June. Or, I didn't think about this when I originally read this, or somebody was abusing her. That's not fun to talk about. That's a little too depressing. So let's go with the spiritual answer here. Basically, no one else could see this flying man, but he really was trying to grab Grandma June. He was grabbing her arms and her legs. This was posted online by Mary, underneath the name Groundbreaking Zone 94. It's an interesting story. It's a short story. It's interesting because, like, obviously you think psychosis until you realize that there are marks on her. And you could go the dark route and say that somebody was leaving those marks. Not some unseen figure, but like someone was abusing her. But I'm pretty sure she was at her house at this point. And that doesn't mean you can't get abused there. But also, that's insanely depressing. It's a possibility we have to address it. But that's more depressing than thinking it was some sort of spiritual entity that she was seeing and it was interacting with her. What I find so interesting is that, think for a minute. If you're dying and you believe in the afterlife, what do you usually associate wings and flying away with? Angels. So why was she trying so hard to get away from it? Now listen, I know there's biblically accurate versions of angels. And then the angels in Renaissance painting. For one, I would argue if 8 billion people believe that angels look like the angels in the paintings, the angels look like the angels in the paintings, the combined consciousness of the human mind. If one person can create a tulpa, it's shocking to think what 8 billion people could do. God's like, listen, I know you like to be a bunch of eyeballs and 10 wings and shoot out fire, but you're not anymore. Sorry to break it to you. Now everyone believes you look like this, so you're this. Okay, God. The idea, though, of an angel, of a humanoid angel coming down and grabbing onto her and trying to fly away with her, you associate that stuff with heaven. Now, I know if you look at these same types of paintings, demons are depicted as having wings as well. Usually, though, I mean, she didn't describe what it was. Like, you could think it was a devil trying to fly away with her. And that would explain the horror on her face. But it just seems like we don't know what it was. Was it an angel? Was it a devil? Was it her mind slipping? But whatever it was, let's assume that it was supernatural. She didn't want to go either way, heaven or hell. Which I find very interesting. I think it's because of the terminology, right? When we think of devils and demons, we speak of them. I'm not saying hell's actually in the middle of the earth, although, now that I think about it, if 8 billion people believe it's in the middle of the earth, who knows? The world of tulpas, the world of subconscious creation. Devils are normally talked about as pulling people down, both spiritually and physically, pulling them down, while angels are about lifting you up, both spiritually and physically. And it seemed like this character was trying to take her away and she was resisting it. She was terrified. Now listen, death can be terrifying. You can be 100% a true believer and still be terrified of the notion of death. And that 100% could have been what it was. That it could have been an angel and he signed to bring her up to heaven and she didn't want to go. And he's like, oh, come on, just leave with me. I'm having to hold you so hard, Grandma. I'm leaving bruises. Don't tell God about this. This is going to be really bad on my performance review. June, come on, let's go. I'm just trying to yank your soul out of your mortal coil so you can experience peace forever. Let's just do it. And he's like yanking her, and she's fighting it because she didn't want to go. But eventually she did die. Like I said, 8 days after Mary showed up, she did die. And hopefully she did find that peace in the afterlife that she was so eager to avoid. That she actually found it good. She goes up there and the angel's like, finally, dude. Oh my God, let's go. And they fly up to heaven and June's like, you know what? This isn't so bad. And the angel's like, yeah, that's what I was telling you. Now cover up those bruises. Cover up those bruises before we get to heaven or there's going to be a lot of explaining to do. Let's go. And she gets there and she's walking around heaven, this old grandma, and she's slowly turning into young grandma. She becomes the body that she identifies the most with, and she's walking around and she sees these Care Bears. They're like, June, we love you. And she's like, oh my God, it's the Care Bears. And then Rainbow Bright's running around. The Smurfs are there, plus all of her dead relatives, also everyone who died before her. They're like, June, over here. And she's like, shut up, you losers. Look, it's the Care Bear. King hugs a lot. He's all giving her a big old hug. Hopefully June realized that the afterlife isn't something to be truly terrified of. It can be scary to go. The journey itself can be terrifying, but once you're over there, I hope she found that peace. I also hope that I'm right and this was an angel trying to pull her into the afterlife, because if it was a darker force, if this was a demonic entity visiting June, then the journey is the least of her worries. We don't know a lot about the afterlife. We don't know a lot about what happens to the soul after it leaves. But I do believe one thing. In hell, there are no Care Bears. DeadRapRadio@gmail.com is going to be your email address. You can also hit us up at facebook.com/DeadRapRadio. TikTok is @DeadRapRadio. Dead Rabbit Radio is the daily paranormal, conspiracy, and true crime podcast. You don't have to listen to it every day, but I'm glad you listened to it today. Have a great one, guys. 100%.